Warning, Weirdish covers content regarding conspiracies, controversial topics, subjects that may trigger post-traumatic stress, and content some may consider offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
All right, y'all, welcome to Weirdish, where we talk about weird-ish. I'm Marvin, and at my side, I have Brian and Andriana.
What's up, everybody?
All right, so the topic today, we are talking about Ouijas.
Yay! Cool. Fun for the whole family, guys. Fun for the whole family.
Ouija boards, communicating with the dead, past lives. A lot of people hear Ouija boards and then they're just like, no, thank you. They don't want to have anything to do with it. I've been curious about messing with one, but I've still been one of those people, honestly, where I'm like, I'm not going to mess with that. But as time has gone on, I'm like, not skeptical, but more like just curious about it.
So I guess it's safe to say that none of us have tried using one?
Nah.
Nah?
Mm-mm. No?
Nope. Nah.
So, like, do you guys know anyone who has?
I do not. I personally
no?
don't.
No.
We're and the cool thing about Weirdish is we're all, like, from different cultures. So yeah. I feel like that we all have, like, culturally speaking, we have different intensities and views on the whole thing. Like,
yeah.
My family is not very religious, and a lot of a lot of people of my ethnicity also are, they're not very scared of, like, demonic stuff happening unless they've had some sort of, like, personal experience, which is, I don't know. I'm just speaking from my own perspective of this, but what about you guys and like in your culture and the people you know in your family, when you bring up that subject, what happens? Like, how do people react?
Easy. Nothing happens and I don't get a reaction because I don't bring it up. I grew up Roman Catholic and went to schools ran by either Mercy Sisters or Jesuit priests.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm sure that gives an idea of how I was taught to think of the Ouija board. And, you know, I grew up also watching a lot of horror movies. I've probably seen every possession or exorcism movie, even the cheesy movies. And, you know, I guess that embedded the idea in my head, and probably anyone with a similar background, that the Ouija board is something that should be avoided. And, you know, just to add icing on top of that cake, I also come from a religious family. but in terms of ethnicity, I guess it's not something really common within my culture to use it, even though I do know some people who have tried it and got really interesting results as well. How about you, Marvin?
And with me being Haitian, we invented all the spooky stuff. So
yeah.
I never really messed with a Ouija board because watching movies growing up involving the Ouija board, I was like, yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. No, not even a little bit. Nope. Not going to buy it. Not going to look at it. Nah.
That's
you don't
awesome.
Want even to breathe the same air, right?
No, actually. Yeah, come think about it. Nah, we ain't breathing nothing. Okay.
Not gonna be in the same room.
Nope, not doing it.
I think it's okay as long as you don't put your hands on it. I personally, I wouldn't use it or be around anyone using it. But you know, I think it's okay as long as you don't touch it. I don't know.
You ever heard guilty by association?
I was just thinking
being
that.
In the same house, you getting haunted. Okay.
Do our laws actually work in the spirit realm? Are they like, hey, you were there, so I'm going to haunt you too? Like,
yeah.
You think so?
Hell yeah.
I mean, if we're speaking like demonically, don't demons typically want like some sort of human passage of some sort? And they may they may find the, I don't know how demon rules work. So maybe they just the easiest target within a specific like range, as long as you know. Don't have salt around you or something like that. I don't know.
I wonder if it's like You know when you go out with a group of friends, like when you're in high school, and like you have like that one person that only the like one of your friends knows, but like no one else knows, and they're like, "Hey, what about your friend though? Like, is it like
oh god, they're yeah, more right. interested in your friend?"
Yo, their vessel looks mighty fine,
right?
On in that body.
Uh oh.
I don't know. Like, okay, so we were talking about movies, right? So, like, don't you think, like, Hollywood sensationalizes or, like, you know, over-exaggerates what happens? Or do you think, like, oh, The Exorcist is, like, obviously it says based on a true story, but, like, like, do you think they exaggerate exactly what happens with a possession?
That's hard to say, in my opinion. I mean, there are videos out there of actual, like, exorcisms happening. And I think that, you know, Hollywood's always going to ramp things up to, you know, maximize sales, keep interest. But I think they keep the message normal to an extent. I think we'd have to ask someone that's actually had that happen. But as far as, like, Ouija boards and, like, how they portray them in films, I think it's, like, really they ramp it up big time. Like,
yeah.
It's like the whole summoning of a physical demon from hell and like, oh, I'm going to kill you. Maybe it's just like some demon gets trapped inside someone's body and just needs to be exorcised. And it may not even be that bad. It may just make them feel very ill or, you know, I don't know. So I feel like, yeah, it exaggerates it. Hollywood exaggerates everything.
Yeah, I'm with you there, Brian.
But they have to. I mean, that's a
matter. I mean, but like, it brings us to the question, like, why are humans so obsessed with speaking to the dead?
I guess struggling with loss or
yeah.
curiosity. No one actually knows what happens when we die. Like, think about it. We have our brains and this consciousness, and what happens to your consciousness when you die? I mean, all we know and all we can, like, assume, because no one really does know. If you're out there and you say you definitely know, you actually probably don't know. Our consciousness probably just disappears. Nothing. There's nothing. It's hard for us to actually assume that. So I think, like, trying to get in touch with, like, the afterlife, a lot of people are looking for answers on what does happen after you die, or they could just miss somebody they love and want some closure. So
yeah, I can see that being a thing as well. Mm-hmm. You know, like, as humans, we're naturally curious about what happens after we die, because, you know, we tend to fear things that we don't understand or things of the unknown, right? You know, aside from that, I know that the use of the Ouija board became really popular during World War I. You know, aside from dealing with the war, they were also dealing with a pandemic at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were fighting the Spanish flu, and that alone took 50 million people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, during the war, at that time, the soldiers were traveling by boat. And, you know, they were sending letters, and, you know, they didn't have cell phones,
right,
or, you know, computers, emailing systems like we do now. So it would probably take weeks, maybe even months, before they can hear from their loved ones, you know, to see how they're doing, if they, you know, are still alive. So I guess I can see why it became popular, because, you know, they said it was, like, to the point where it was normal to see it in the household. And obviously this was before, you know, the Exorcist movie. But yeah, I mean, loss and curiosity, I guess.
Imagine, like, being married during that time and, you know, I have to say, you know, it would be a female using it, because at that time it was only men in the military. So imagine, like, a housewife not happy with her husband saying, oh, is such and such dead? And the Ouija board says yes. And then she goes and, like, finds some other guy somewhere. And then turns out he wasn't dead. She just used the Ouija board to, like, say, oh, this is okay.
I cheated on you because the Ouija board said you were dead.
The spirit world told me otherwise, Tom.
They told me you were dead.
Tom, you cannot get upset at me. The demons told me they saw you, okay?
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
Or
yeah,
not
that's
demons,
great.
The spirits.
The spirits. We don't know. It might be demons.
Right.
Who knows?
Hell, both.
So if you guys were to use a Ouija board, which I know, you know, Marvin is like, hell no.
I'm curious, so I know I would,
What would you want to ask? Or, like, who would you want to contact?
You know, I don't even know. I think I just want to have some friendly conversation with some spirit or something.
A random spirit?
Just random spirit, which is probably dangerous, you know.
Dude, that's very, very dangerous.
Was talking about, you know, what do you like to do in your spare time? I don't know. Like, we don't know these things. A lot of people are seeking answers. I'm just there to have a conversation. So
that's going to be like the longest conversation ever. I feel like like using a Ouija board is like texting on like a Nokia phone, like the really old one.
Oh, dude, I go ham on those. Are you kidding me?
What?
I had a flip phone until I was 22. And I could text. I could text without looking, and spot on. So don't trash on those Nokia phones, man.
Wow.
Anyway, sorry, you were saying.
No, you would be great with a Ouija board because clearly you do not mind waiting on a reply.
Wow.
So, I mean, I heard that like some of the messages take like 5 minutes. Like I can't do it.
Amateurs.
Jeez. If I were to use a Ouija board, I'd contact this Elijah Bond.
Okay? Elijah Bond.
Yeah, the guy who had the patent for the Ouija board, and be like, come on, bro, really? Really? You try to, of all the things to invent, you want to talk to demons, bro?
Well, should we get into that? Because, first of all, there's like so many, there were like a lot of controversies about the patent because like everyone wanted to patent this idea. And like they even went to court with it, which I was like, why are you guys fighting over a Ouija board? Can't you all just make your own?
No, we need to talk to demons, okay?
Like, no, it's more like they want to turn it into like a monopoly so that only their company can sell it. I guess because it was so popular. I mean, it even sold Monopoly, which, yes, Monopoly. Yes, I say it like that. It even outsold that game. I'm like, we still play that till today. And first of all, why is it a game? Like, when you go on Amazon, or if you just see a box of it, which, you know, God knows, I guess it's in toy stores as well, on the back of it, it says ages 8+. Who would give an 8-year-old a Ouija board?
Maybe they did that on purpose, since they know, you know, kids are more susceptible to being...
To demons?
Yeah. So I wonder if they did that on purpose. It's a game. Kids are using.
First of all, why classify it as a game? I mean, like, we all saw The Exorcist.
Yeah.
That was... Reagan was... I don't even know how old she was. She was, like, what, 11 or 12 or something? Why? I mean, if you watch that movie, aren't you scared that your kid is going to become Reagan?
Right. But, I mean, there are a lot of people that don't believe in the supernatural, the supernatural stuff. So they're like, it's just a game. Go have fun, little Sue. Comes back all
projectile vomiting.
Oh, she's just sick. Let's just take her to the doctor.
The doctor is like, why is she levitating?
You know, she's in the wall, the game, in the corner.
She's walking up the wall.
That would be hard to clean. Like, imagine 30-foot toilet there on the ceiling. Like,
let's
come
get
on.
A ladder.
Projectile vomits in the car to the hospital.
Ew. Oh,
all on the windshield. You have to.
Oh yeah.
You can't even turn on the wipers because it's in the side.
So yeah, it's cool how it was made as a game and then it just kind of turned into this whole like, don't mess with it. You're contacting demons.
Well, it was normal. It was normal because of spiritualism and. Everyone was like, oh, cool. We can talk to the dead and ask questions. And it's like having your own medium at home, right?
Yeah.
So I guess it was more affordable because when it first came out, it was $1.50 for a board. So, I mean, it's cheap and you don't have to pay an arm and a leg to have your questions answered. But I heard that it was only classified as a game for tax purposes.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Were games taxed less than other?
Yeah. Because it was, I don't know what else it would have been classified as, but I heard that the guy that eventually got the patent And his name, William Fold. William Fold. I'm probably butchering his name. But he was the last one to have it patented. I heard he did that because of tax purposes. And then when the Parker brothers, who are in charge of the actual Monopoly game and the Star Wars games, they tried to get it reclassified as like a religious object or something so that it wouldn't be taxed. So I guess, yeah, like the cheaper you, I guess toys cheap, but obviously if it's religious, it's like on tax or something. It's all about the money at the end of the day, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Huh. Well, it's cool thinking about, you know, it's used as a way of communicating, and not a lot of people use the Ouija board nowadays, but I feel like there are other avenues that are similar to the Ouija board that are like portrayed in modern day film or just even in general. For those fans of the series Stranger Things on Netflix, like whenever I forget her name, it's been so long, but you know, the Christmas lights on the walls with the A, B, C, D, the alphabet and everything, and the lights flicker to signal what which one it is. I feel like that's a great portrayal of Ouija board communicating between the normal world and the upside down, you know, like think of it as like a spirit world. It's really cool that it's there's a lot of different avenues about communicating with spirits in that way, and I don't know, that's something, you know what, that popped in my head.
It's interesting that you said that, because if I'm not mistaken, Stranger Things is based on Dungeons and Dragons, which is why it's played, I think, in the first episode.
It's not based off of it, but there's a lot of
like loosely.
I mean, they reference it a lot. I'm an avid D&D player. So I can't say the whole thing is like based off of
not the whole thing, but like they're loosely based.
Yeah.
Dungeons and Dragons, when it first came out, like a lot of people were saying that it's like satanic, a demon game. Yeah, and it's the same with the Ouija board. So for them to incorporate both, you know, the Ouija board obviously loosely and D&D is like, it's blasphemy.
It would be blasphemy for that time back period, then. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it's cool.
So I guess we should get into the modern day Ouija board.
Yeah.
It was first designed by a coffin maker in Chestertown, Maryland.
A coffin maker.
Yeah, a coffin maker, which is very is fitting. I'm like, okay, so he makes a coffin for your relative and allows you to talk to them.
I guess if it had to be sold by anybody to get sales, like, sorry, your loved one passed. If you use this, though, you can talk to them. I mean,
yeah, great sales pitch.
Weird.
Yeah.
So Easy Wright was a coffin maker in Chestertown, Maryland, and he wanted to create an easy way of communicating with the dead. So he worked along with two people named Charles Kennard and Elijah J. Bond to brainstorm the design. And if you know anything about Ouija, like Charles Kennard and Elijah J. Bond are like the most common names that you'll find when researching it. So while E.C. Reich and Charles Kennard were using the board, they came up with the name because they asked the spirit they were communicating with the correct name for the board, and it said Ouija. So when they asked what it meant, the board responded that it was an ancient Egyptian word meaning good luck. However, Egyptologists, if you ask them, they will tell you there's no word that they know of that existed in the Egyptian language known as Ouija. Charles Kennard ended up creating the Kennard Novelty Company in 1890 with Elijah J. Bond. For some reason, E.C. Reich, you know, he wasn't mentioned anymore, so we don't know what happened to him. The Kennard Novelty Company, they were the first to make the Ouija board and put it on the market. And they ran into financial problems eventually, and their financial backers took over the company. So they were Isaac and William Fold. So after they took it over, they renamed the company on July 19th, 1892, and they named it the Ouija Novelty Company. So William Fold is the reason why people believe that the word Ouija is French for oui, yes, and German ja for yes, meaning yes and yes. After William found out that Isaac was like mishandling the bookkeeping records, he fired him and renamed the company the Baltimore Talking Board Company. When this happened, he redesigned the planchette and he added a circle window for viewing the letters. And this is what we see today for the modern planchette. So he came up with the idea of the modern planchette.
Well, also, it's said that when Fold was marketing this originally, he was like intentionally being mysterious about whether it worked or not and how it worked, or whether it was a game or some sort of like spiritual tool, and that boosted a lot of the sales for it. And keeping it in the dark on whether or not it worked or not, if it was just a game or actually like was a spiritual tool, it kind of played to his advantage in both the gaming market and the like more serious side of like wanting to contact spirits.
Yeah, I remember he also mentioned when someone asked him if it worked or not, he said, "I don't know, I'm Presbyterian." But anyway, after William Fold died, the company went to his sons William and Hubert, and they sold it to the Parker brothers.
Really?
Who were in charge, or who were the creators of Monopoly, Frogger, and like the Star Wars games back then, among others, obviously. But it outsold like any, like every toy on the market at that time.
Yeah. And quick fun fact, back in the day, because, you know, in the late 1800s, that's when it was like around the time it was created, yeah. Right? And this is before the internet, technology, and, you know, sex wasn't as like accepted everywhere. But this was a good excuse back then for people to have some sort of like intimate kind of encounter, or like, you know, it's two people, right? It's you should be played with more than one person, but couples would usually have a Ouija board, and it was suggested to be played on the lap. And now back in the day, if you know, any exposed clothing, like shoulders and like backs showing through like dresses or something, that was considered very revealing. Touching on like the knees or like anywhere else, like, or on the waist, that was very sexual back then. And what couples would do is they would have an excuse. Oh, we have the Ouija board, we have to put it on our lap. And typically they would start, you know, they'd be in close proximities, their knees would touch, and they would be close to the other person's like thighs and everything. So it was a great excuse back then that couples would play with a Ouija board to have close, like, kind of sexual encounters. There was no like obvious intercourse or anything, but that's what they would do. That was their like their thing back then. That's a fun. It's a fun fact about that.
Oh my gosh!
So the Ouija board was considered to be like
sexy,
a sexy thing, yeah, back then. Yeah. So yeah, you got the market for the whole family fun. You got the market for the spirits, and you got like the yo, I'm going to mess with a Ouija board later tonight with Tom. So, I mean, there you go.
Go Tom.
Yeah, go Tom.
And every other demon that you guys decided to join to the party.
Yeah, right? freeze the show.
Did you just touch my shoulder, Tom? Don't forget about Zozo.
Oh, Zozo. We'll get to Zozo a little later. Oh my goodness. But yo, it's a fun fact though. I found that very interesting.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm just thinking about, you know, how our definition of intimate is different from what they considered intimate back then.
Oh my, yeah. We would give people heart attacks if we...
Hey, Zozo.
Yeah.
You will play the color game with Zozo?
The color game?
What's the color game?
I don't know the color
game. Yeah, so we're, you know, on the topic of touching each other's knees and stuff. Uh-huh. You play, you know, sit with someone in front of you, and you put your hand on their knee, and you ask them, what's my favorite color?
What?
And they say the wrong number until you reach, you know, their pelvic line. So that's really not people. That's Zozo and all his little demon friends.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I played that game in high school.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that game before.
Well, the right way to play it is with the Ouija board.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. You didn't know that?
No, I've never heard of it. Are you serious?
No, not even a little bit. No, no, no. I'm not serious at all.
Oh, man. Oh, my gosh. So, moving on. If the Ouija board is a game, it should come with instructions, right? Well, yeah. I mean, modern Ouija boards don't really come with a booklet of, like, detailed instructions, but they once did when William Fold owned it, right?
Yeah, I didn't even know there were, like, actual instructions until you mentioned it.
Yeah, the original instructions are actually in this booklet, and it's, like, really long and detailed. So if you guys want to see it, be sure to check out our Instagram page and or the Facebook group, whichever you prefer, and I'll have it posted there in time for when you're hearing this. But if you look at modern Ouija boards, the back of it, you know, they don't really have detailed instructions, but what it does say is to just sit opposite of your partner with the board in between you guys, and your fingers are both touching the planchette, right? And you have to ask a question and concentrate really hard on that question so that you can get the answer that you want. And it's like, okay, wait 1 to 5 minutes for the answer to come, and it will tell you yes or no. It will give you a number, spell out an answer. But if you go to the bottom of it, it's like, Ouija, it's only a game, isn't it?
Nah, why they gotta question it, though?
Yeah, it's so ominous. I don't know if, you know, they worded it like that because of some type of disclaimer.
Marketing.
Yeah, I can see it being marketing, too, because that kind of falls into line with what William Fold was doing as well back then. And if you're listening to this and this is like something you're actually interested in, I highly suggest going on Amazon and reading the reviews for Ouija boards.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I don't know if like people are doing a competition to see who writes the most ridiculous review on Ouija boards, but it's hilarious. I mean, like, you have people asking, why is my Ouija board levitating?
Who's holding it up?
Right?
Yeah.
someone even wrote, this unit is defective. It didn't summon any demons.
Does the planchette need batteries?
Oh, my God. Speaking of the planchette, the shape of it is very important. Because, like, some of the boards, they have it, like, in a heart shape, and some have it just as a triangle. It's better to have the triangle one because it's, like, more powerful.
No, we're not using the triangle one. We're going to use the heart shape one. It don't work.
But if you use the heart shape one, you won't be able to talk to higher beings.
I'm not trying to speak to nothing. So I'm going to use the heart one with the glass. Okay?
Oh, man. But the thing is, if you use the heart one with the glass, right, you're only able to access like lower level entities like elementals that cause poltergeist activity in your house. Whereas if you use the triangle one, which is like a stronger symbol, and it's known to be like the in-between point of realms, right? So you see them in like, you know, the shape of the pyramids, you know, in Egypt, when they're used as tombs. This is because, you know, the Egyptians knew that a triangle shaping upward helps a soul to move on to the other realm. And then when the triangle is shaped downward, it helps to bring a being and then, like, invoke them into your own reality because it's acting like a human womb, right? So you can see why the shape plays a role in, you know, how powerful it is.
All right, not trying to piss nobody off, okay? So what you're saying is, with the heart one, I'm going to get the derp-derp, like, demons, the ones that won't completely, you know, that
oh
won't completely
gosh,
destroy my house.
Marvin.
But if I get the triangle ones, you're saying I'm going to be dealing with, like, Lucifer his damn self. I'm not trying to deal with all that. Like,
Oh my, no, that's not what I meant. I meant that not necessarily Lucifer, but like it can be like something good.
Okay, like Casper. Okay.
yeah, totally like Casper. I'll let you think that.
See, nah. Mm-mm. So moral of the story, kids, don't use the triangle one. Go with the heart.
Just don't use one at all. How about that? So if we go back to like ancient times, Ouija board, you know, also known as a talking board, or more like it is a talking board because Ouija is actually like more of the brand that got generalized, obviously. So it was a form of necromancy, which if you don't know, necromancy is a practice involving conjuring the dead to answer questions. So yes, you are practicing necromancy when you use the Ouija board. The concept of necromancy has been around. The concept of necromancy has been around since, like, you know, the dawn of time, even dating back to like ancient times. And it was practiced by the Greeks, Romans, Babylonians, Chaldeans, Etrurians, and Egyptians. Like I mentioned before, even in the Old Testament, we can see that mediumship and necromancy were commonly practiced, even though it was condemned. In ancient Greece, necromancy was also practiced by priests and consecrated people at shrines, which, you know, you probably won't catch a modern day priest using a Ouija board. Romans also practiced it, despite it being banned by Constantine. And if you don't know who Constantine was, Constantine the First was the Roman emperor that made Christianity the default religion in Rome. And all of this happened before necromancy was banned because, you know, the church saw it as a form of paganism. So the concept of a talking board dates back to recorded history that we know of, depending on the source, anywhere between 540 BC to 550 BC with Greek philosopher Pythagoras. So this is debatable because the person that wrote about it was Philolaus, and according to some people, he was born 25 years after Pythagoras died. But the times back then weren't recorded that well, so it is possible that he was indeed alive when Pythagoras was alive. And according to Philolaus, you know, Pythagoras had this talking table that was on wheels, so it was a much larger scale, and they were probably using like the Greek alphabet to get answers, right? So Pythagoras would use the table and Philolaus would interpret the message coming from the table, and he would convey that message to the audience. Also in 551 BC in ancient China, they also used a talking board to talk to ancestors. The Romans also used it. Even pre-Columbian Native Americans also had a similar board, which they used to talk to people or find items or obtain information. And it was called a skudilat. I'm probably butchering the name, though. It
reminds me of seafood.
Yeah, right?
But fun fact.
Fun fact. I like fun facts.
Fun fact. The shape of the planchette also isn't a coincidence, like I said, with the triangular shape thing. Do you know that there was a magical triangle, or better known as the triangle of manifestation, which possesses the power to evoke, bind, and control spirits?
Huh.
It's believed that King Solomon used the magical triangle to command 72 evil spirits. If you look into him more and more, like, it's like this dude was doing all sorts of mysticism.
That's cool. Sweet. Yo, so I've been curious to get on this subject. Isn't there, there was a school where kids got possessed?
Yeah, there was a couple of them, actually. One was in Colombia, and then one was actually here in Florida.
I want to hear the Florida one.
So let's talk about the school in Miami. So this is one of the schools that they decided to use a Ouija board, and this was the Miami Aerospace Academy. This happened back in October 25th, 1979.
Right in time for Halloween.
Yeah. So it says here that the Memorial Hospital treated at about 700 demonic possessions a month. And
what?
What?
Like,
wait,
go back.
What the?
Go
wait,
back.
One sec.
Please say that
it's
again.
It's in the first. It's in the, look, it's in the first paragraph. It talks about how, like, this, the Miami Jackson Memorial Hospital treated about 700 demonic possessions a month. Yes. And it even talks about this 9-year-old talking about how they are Satan. Oh, in a voice that clearly was not hers. So you, for a fact, that kid is definitely possessed, and that is why you shouldn't give kids a game that literally lets them talk to the damn devil, okay? The Ouija board is not a game, okay? They use that as a ploy, because clearly a 9-year-old kid is talking to you, thinking she is the devil. That's not
in a voice that's not her. Hell no.
Yeah. And that is it's like the staple of every movie that a child gets possessed. The child is always ending up not talking.
Oh, you gotta get rid of the whole kid at that point. Just get rid of the kid.
The old kid's gotta go. I am sorry. Yes. That's harsh. That's rough.
School, here you come.
Yeah, there's even a news article that was published October 26, 1979 about this.
Guys, we're going to publish, not publish, we're going to post a picture of this news article because, first of all, you have to see this. It's on the front page of the Miami News, and it is insane. We'll post this on the website, on the Facebook page, and the Instagram page so that you guys can see it. It's amazing.
So apparently, while this whole ordeal was going on, everybody's getting all possessed or whatever. I guess when the film crews got there, people were screaming, or people were talking about that they were using the Ouija board, and other people were talking about they were playing Bloody Mary.
Oh, wow.
Which are, you know, both, of course, the Ouija board, you're conjuring demons, but Bloody Mary, too. I don't know if anyone has ever played that game.
I tried.
That's another.
I did.
Nothing happened.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you were doing it wrong. You need a Ouija board.
Hell no.
So there's the Ouija board, there's Bloody Mary, and then the Biggie Smalls game.
The Biggie Smalls? Wait, what?
The Biggie Smalls?
What is the Biggie Smalls game? It was all a dream. What?
Trey Parker and Matt Stone were the ones that actually discovered this. If you don't know who those two are, you should look up Trey Parker and Matt Stone. They were actually in their bathroom. And they turned the lights off and said, Biggie Smalls, Biggie Smalls, Biggie Smalls. And then he appears.
What?
Yeah. South Park. Trey Parker and Matt Stone made sense.
Oh, what? I was like, what?
No, man.
Oh, man. I haven't watched South Park in forever.
Oh, it's great.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's, a lot of kids' games that deal with, you know, bringing back the demons.
Demons, yeah. I think everyone tried Bloody Mary at least once. I don't know about you, Marvin, but I've tried it. And yeah, nothing happened.
Yeah, nothing happened.
Yeah, nothing happened with me either. With Bloody Mary or Biggie Smalls.
Again, we were doing it wrong. Apparently we needed a Ouija board.
Hell no, I'm good.
I'll try it. If I'll do a Twitch live stream doing that.
Oh, God.
The weirdest live stream.
Yeah, you're going to be by yourself because I don't play demons.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll do it. And, you know, if I start to get, like, sick and stuff. Then
projectile vomiting.
I catch the coronavirus.
Oh.
So, my goodness. Knock on wood.
Knock on wood for real.
All right, so apparently a riot broke out in the Miami Aerospace Academy, which is a private military school in Little Havana. And apparently a lot of, there were students screaming about possessed spirits or whatever. So I guess that seems to be a thing. You know, when you're possessed, you just run around screaming like a chicken with your head cut off. That's probably the heat of the demon, you know, inside your body.
Hell yeah,
whatever.
Demon blood.
But I don't know, I've never been possessed. I've gotten hot as shit because I live in a hot state, but I mean, I don't know if that's the same thing. So it talks about how during this riot, like one of the kids was apparently unconscious. A lot of the other kids were injured. You know, just typical riots, smashing windows, ripping doors off the hinges, stuff like that.
Wait. You said kids ripping doors off hinges?
Yeah, smashing windows, ripping doors.
First of all, that's some demonic strength right there. First of all.
Yeah.
Or some weak ass wood.
Or that, yeah. If your kid can rip the doors off the hinges, bro, man.
It may be more than like one kid doing it too, which would help, but still, that's some strength.
Yeah, and it apparently when the firefighters and police got there, they got to the scene and noticed that there were like hundreds of hysterical high schoolers fleeing the buildings as they're all ablaze. Not the kids, but the buildings. The devil, it seemed, was to blame, apparently. So they say, the devil made me do it!
Bring the Ouija board to school, bro.
So where was the proof that a Ouija board was, or, you know, demonic possession was at play here?
So I kind of got ahead of myself earlier. Is when the television crews got there and joined the frenzy, is they were talking about how witnesses were blaming the Ouija board and other people were talking about the game Bloody Mary. So I'm assuming that they put two and two together and stuff started happening because, you know, apparently Bloody Mary doesn't work by itself. And they were probably using what's that thing called? The triangle
the
thing?
Planchette.
That, yeah, the planchette. They were using the triangle one, not the heart one, because clearly it went south. Okay. All right.
Oh, man.
Yep. Stupid planchettes.
Damn.
Oh, man.
Remember, stay away from the triangle ones. So I was going to go ahead and just jump into the school that's in Colombia that was possessed, that got the 20 kids got possessed. First and foremost, who the hell decided to put a Ouija board in a damn app? Okay. Like, I just want to know who did that. Okay. All right. And this is more for our crowd, I guess, because it's more modern. These 20 kids apparently got possessed by an app. Now, I don't believe it says what the name of the app is on this in this article. Yeah. I was looking for that because that would have been, I would have had someone to actually point the finger
First
at.
First of all, just download every Ouija app you can find and then.
Nah, don't do that.
We can narrow it down easily. If you don't get possessed, it's not that one.
Wow. Wow. If you don't get possessed, just delete it.
Yeah, just move on to the next one.
So. This is an agricultural school where 20 students got possessed by playing this app, and apparently it's a Ouija app. Now, all 20 of them apparently got possessed, and the mayor of the town wanted all of them to be sent to the health center, which is kind of weird. And by the way, their health center's a church.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Oh.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. And apparently the video on this link doesn't work. It says it's unavailable. I really wanted to see that. But there's a bunch of pictures. You see, like, the faces of all these, like, kids. They all look a little deranged. Like, all of them.
Not all there?
No. Not even a little bit. So let's see here. The date when this happened. There's not a date in the article itself. But there is a date when it was published, and the published date was February 17th of 2017. So that was just a couple years ago. So there is an app floating around that possesses you. Can I ask you guys a question?
Yeah.
Yo, what's up?
If a friend just was like, oh, hey, by the way, I just found this app and I downloaded it on my phone. You want to check it out? Would you like just, you know, participate? And just like, oh, yeah, let's go ahead and ask it some questions, you know? Like,
I mean, it depends on the app.
Yeah, I mean, if they were just like, hey, I found this app, want to mess with it? I'd say yeah. But if they were like, hey, I found this app, it's supposed to make you possessed, I'd be like, deuces.
I think what happened here. Oh, actually, how about you, Dre?
Hell no, I don't play demons.
Oh, yeah, I feel you. I think what happened here with these kids is a sense of peer pressure. Because, like, it could have been, like, one individual was like, hey, check this out. You should download this. And it doesn't say if one person had it, the app, or if all 20 students had the app. It doesn't relay that information
either.
First of all,
if I'm in high school, I'm probably like, yo, what app is that? Let me download it. So I think it's more like that.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's cool. Oh, it's not going to do anything.
I just want to point out that this happened in Yoro, Colombia. And if you know what Yoro means, it means crying or weeping.
Yeah.
And it fits the situation because if I became possessed, Yoro would become Llorando because I would be crying.
Yeah.
If I see you guys crying because you're possessed, I'm crying because it's funny.
Wow.
Because oh, you guys man. Thought you were safe.
So 20 students got possessed. Damn.
Yo, and yeah, there's no cause. Like, the apparently the doctor was like, yeah, I don't understand why these kids are acting like this.
Yeah, you know, and they were just, like,
oh, I don't know what's going on.
They were fainting and shouting like, that the devil was going to take them with him. Like,
What sort of medical anomalies come along with demonic possession?
That's a good question.
I don't know.
Yeah, like, why would they call doctors instead of priests? I just want to know.
Projectile vomiting, speaking in foreign tongue.
Yeah.
I don't know. The owl effect where your head starts spinning around.
True.
So, I think it's a good time to jump into Zozo, a very common demon occurrence, demonic occurrence that happens during the Ouija experience. And so, Zozo is, like I said, a demon. And it came about, I believe it was the year was 1989. This gentleman was playing. Keep in mind, the Ouija board has not always been just like bad. It was still used as a game, and some people still use it as a game. So, this gentleman was playing with the Ouija board with his family, and he had this occurrence where he was playing it with it, and he had the planchette, and it went to the letter Z, and then O, and then back to Z and O, and kept on doing that. Kept on going Z-O, Z-O, Z-O. And after that happened, his daughter was getting, you know, things were happening with his family. There were, you know, demonic possession was involved. Illness and bad luck were happening everywhere they went, no matter what they were doing. And another common thing with that started happening in multiple places. This wasn't documented before, and it was happening everywhere. So a really common thing was Zozo, Z-O-Z-O-Z-O. And it's really weird thinking that that same name and certain omens and bad occurrences were happening elsewhere at that time, or even before then, at different times with different people. It's like a bad demonic spiritual calling with the Ouija board. And now, not only Zozo, Zozo is what people refer to the demon as, or the entity of whatever evil spirit or, you know, is tied to. But summoning Zozo, you don't just have it go to Z or O. There's other ways, like Mama, M-A-M-A-M-A, M-A repeated. That's another common Zozo summoning. Yeah, like that movie, weird movie Mama that was really badly directed. It had nothing to do with the Ouija board, but that's what I thought of it first. But
so any but repetitive pattern?
Not any. The common ones are Zozo, obviously, Mama, Zaza, Oz, Zo, Za, and this one's weird, Abacus.
That's interesting.
So, yeah. Well, yeah, it is interesting. Now, it's not just... Now, summoning Zozo, or whatever name you want to call this demon... it's not just you just go straight to zero O. The planchette will typically move into a figure eight and just frantically zoom back and forth. So it's not a slow occurrence. It's like the planchette will move in a figure eight, like the infinity sign. And yeah,
no,
so
I was just gonna say, if you see a figure eight, run for the hills. Yeah. Or just close the game. I don't even just close the game.
This ain't Jumanji, you can't just close the game. I mean, that was a bad thing. You can't quit Jumanji either.
Wow.
Never mind. You should check that out or leave it and make me act like a fool. Anyways, so a lot of believers in Zozo claim that he has ancient origins, and I have no idea what those origins would be.
Pazuzu from Mesopotamia.
Yeah, a lot of people are thinking from African or Sumerian, but...
Ooh.
Yeah, Zozo was referenced in 1818 French text, Le Dictionnaire. Oh, wow. I can't even do that. Le Dictionnaire Infernal. Oh, do I sound fancy? So it's basically a demon encyclopedia, and it was written by Jacques Auguste and Simon Colin de Plancy. Holy crap, that's a long name. But yeah, he accounts for three demons named Mimi, Zozo, and Crapule. And the gentleman that had, it was actually in 2009, his name was Darren Evans. And it wasn't 1989, my apologies, 2009. And he lived in Oklahoma at the time, and he found on a website a demon named Zozo, and the website was called True Ghost Tales. And he had a fascination when he was younger with like the occult and Ouija board incidents, and the entity consistently showed itself to Evan too many times to count, pretending to be a kind spirit before shifting into threatening language and into what looked like Latin or Hebrew, apparently. But he was just fascinated by this these occurrences, and turns out a lot of people, he set up a website so people could just like tell their stories about their, you know, experiences with that, and a lot of people had the same things. So Zozo is a big, he's very popular in the world of Ouija. And so now this part I've been waiting for, because it's very fun for me. I'm big into music. I think we all are here, Marvin and Andriana. And there's a very, very famous band by the name of Led Zeppelin, originated back in like the 60s. Very good band. Well, they have an album called Zozo. And now there's always the typical, like, you always hear, oh, the Stairway to Heaven song is satanic, because if you play it backwards, there's like satanic messages, like, I love you, sweet Satan, and all this. But it's really kind of a coincidence that that turned out to happen. And the album is called Zozo, you know, closely resembling Zozo. And now the Zozo phenomenon appeared to be lifted from the Zozo symbol, which is an ancient glyph representing Saturn. And Jimmy Page used that in Led Zeppelin. So Jimmy Page never said what Zozo means, and it's really a sign that belongs to Saturn. So
so we have outer space demons.
I guess so. So it's really kind of cool that there's these small nuance, like almost signs. It's definitely a coincidence. Zozo is a demon in the world of Ouija, and there's a major song that when played backwards has satanic messages, even though I think that's total BS. I've listened to it several times backwards, and yeah, I hear what other people hear, but it was never intentional, in my opinion. And the album's name is Zozo, very closely resembled, you know. And it makes you think, like, the Zozo meaning, or the sign for Zozo on the Led Zeppelin album, means Saturn, right? And yeah, you said, oh, so we got space demons. Well, I mean, who's to say that we're not connecting spiritually with like other realms, and other realms could be elsewhere, you know, Saturn stuff.
Yeah,
that's way out there. That's a big, like, way out there theory or thought, but still, we don't know. But yeah, Zozo may be real. It's been logged by many people, and the gentleman, Darren Evans, he was just mainly made this a well-known thing in the world of Ouija. And you know, maybe Led Zeppelin has something to do, or maybe people are just diehard fans of Led Zeppelin, which can't blame them. I mean, I think Led Zeppelin's cool, but I'm not a big, like, oh yeah, gotta get the lead out, you know.
Yeah,
but The world of rock and roll, man, there's a lot of, especially back in the day when Zeppelin and Sabbath were huge, a lot of demonic stories, like Tony Iommi seeing a demon at the foot of his bed and finding a book underneath his bed that was never there. That's like got a bunch of demonology terms and stuff. It's crazy. So the world of rock and roll, you know, man, is definitely...
That's common.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, the idea of a book randomly popping up in like a space that you usually are, so you know the book wasn't there. I've heard a lot of stories where people, especially authors that are into demonology, mm-hmm. Like, I listened to a lot of their interviews, and they would be like, for some reason, while I was researching for this book, another book with information that I needed just like popped up. Like, it would be like on their nightstand or like on a table or something. And it's a lot of people that say that. So it's like so weird that you mentioned that.
Interesting. And it's really cool thinking about just a really, really quick rock history lesson for those out there. So Black Sabbath was one of the biggest metal bands, was the biggest metal band in the late 60s, fronted by Ozzy Osbourne. And, you know, a few years down the line, quite a few years down the line, Ozzy left Black Sabbath and just made his own, you know, solo project with Randy Rhoads on guitar. May he rest in peace. And he made a song called Mr. Crowley, which I felt fit this subject very well because... I'm not going to recite the whole song, obviously, but the first verse, it really caught me. We were speaking about this episode beforehand, and Andriana mentioned a gentleman by the name Crowley, and I was like, there's no way this is like the same guy, but the lyrics are, Mr. Crowley, what they've done in your head. Mr. Crowley, did you talk with the dead? And basically he's talking about how he fooled people with magic and he waited on Satan's call. It's really about this gentleman, Mr. Crowley, kind of like using, may not be a Ouija board, but some sort of medium to fool people for money.
Oh, yeah.
Or in that aspect. So it's really interesting that rock is popping up with Ouija boards and this sort of spiritual aspect.
The satanic thing. Yeah. It's a common theme, especially the heavier you get. The reason I brought it up, Aleister Crowley, and I totally butchered his name, by the way, is because I wouldn't say that he was like trying to fool people for money, because he actually, and he's well respected in like the whole magic community, and that's magic with a K at the end of it, by the way. So it was interesting that you mentioned that, because he did use the Ouija board among other things. Like, he was into scrying and like crystal gazing and, you know, anything of that nature, right? So he did use the Ouija board, and his views on the Ouija board are actually quite interesting. You know, when you look further into it, you're like, wait a second, magicians use the Ouija board as well? So I was like, okay, so I, like, after that chain of thought, like, I started researching it because most people know the Ouija board because of the whole spiritualist movement or spiritualism. Like, you don't really hear about magicians using the Ouija board. So magicians believe that possessions and evil entities only happen because people misuse the board. Like, they don't fully understand the use of it and why it was created and, you know, how far back it goes. So according to Aleister Crowley, the type of entity must be determined before you even like touch the planchette. Before you allow it to manifest within your environment, you need to know what you're calling down, right? And like I mentioned earlier in the episode, the shape of the planchette is very important because of that.
No hearts, triangles only.
Yeah, triangles only.
gotcha.
So simply asking, is anyone there? Which, you know, a lot of people, that's their first question when they touch a planchette. So that's like giving, according to him, that's like giving a magical command for anything, good or bad, to come forth. And at that point, it is too late, right? Because it's like, think about think about it. It's like, let's say you use a dating app or something like Tinder, right? And you meet someone on there and they're like, okay, let's meet in person. You don't know who the hell you're meeting in person. That might be a serial killer. That might be a catfish. That might be some person that really wants to bring harm to you. You don't know. You're just meeting this person, and using a Ouija board like that is like, you know, allowing anything to come forth. You don't know what you're getting.
So what I said earlier was in the episode when I said, you know, I'm curious, maybe I'll just be like, so what's up, guys? That's a terrible idea then, because I'm just welcoming whatever.
Anything. Yeah. But you might be asking yourself, like, yo, like, how do you command or how do you control what comes forth, right? Because I asked myself that too. I was like, wait, what do you mean you need to know before you even touch a planchette what you're bringing forward? Like, how do you even control that? Because I didn't know. So I was like, okay, let me continue reading. So when I was looking it up, right, his belief lines up with, you know, the ancient Egyptians' belief of the afterlife and the gods and how you communicate with them, which, you know, I thought I understood their whole, like, you know, god system. Apparently I don't, because when I was like reading more, I was like, wait a second, I never thought of it like that. And it also aligns up with this Elizabethan magician named John Dee. And just the fun fact, Aleister Crowley actually believed that he was the reincarnation of John Dee.
Really?
And the reason John Dee is an Elizabethan magician is because he worked for Queen Elizabeth I, and I didn't even know the royal family used magicians. That's interesting.
Yeah, it is. Makes you wonder if they know something that no one else does. Maybe.
Ooh, I think so. I think they do. Yeah, so he believes that first you have to know or have the knowledge that there are four doorways or castles that represent the north, south, east, and west on different sides of the earth, right? And behind these doors, there are different types of entities within them, right? So knowing what your goal is and what you're trying to achieve and what questions you're going to ask beforehand, and knowing like which entity you need to ask or open that door for, you need to, like, instead of saying, is anyone there, you need to like say what you want in the beginning, because if you just say, is anyone there, you're gonna get probably the lowest form of spirit beings or beings that they're not really spirits. When you touch a planchette, you are already opening yourself up to anything that's in the lowest astral plane, right? And these things, they're known as elementals, right? So if you know anything about elementals, these are your shadow people, your shapeshifters, or anything that's like invisible, or if they are visible, they're like this form that you can't really make out. So that's why people usually refer to shadow people as elementals, right? So they can take the form of whoever you are trying to contact, because they're tricksters by nature, right? Yeah. So they're like, you know, if it's Aunt Pam, it's gonna be like, I guess I'm Aunt Pam today. And they're also the easiest to summon, because like I said, as soon as you touch a planchette, you're opening that door to the other realm, and they're the closest one to our own living realm. So they can just, you know, cross over just because you made that connection, because they were saying that your fingers are sacred. And, you know, humans are electrical beings or whatever. So when you put your hand on that planchette, when you put your hand on that planchette, like, all of that combines into you opening a doorway. So these things can come forward, but you can control them, obviously, if you're a magician.
Makes you wonder, like, can this potentially actually be some sort of technology, or not really technology, but some sort of way of communicating that we've misused and misunderstood for so long? Like, could somebody particularly, let's say, use the Ouija board and say, I would like to connect with the spirits of the South in order, I don't know anything about this, I'm just making this up as I go, but spirits of the South in order to help aid in, you know, depression or something, and then have some sort of like therapeutic experience.
Wow.
Or is it all just bad, you know?
It can be good.
I've never heard of I've never heard of like any good scenarios coming right? from a Ouija board.
I mean,
I've always heard, don't do that. Oh my gosh.
I think that comes, I think the whole like it being evil comes from religion.
And maybe not knowing how to follow rules, because I'm hearing now like there's, it's not necessarily a bad thing. We people suck. We don't know how to follow rules. So we're unintentionally calling forth these evil demons, but really we just want some help, but we don't know how to do it. So we're exactly,
don't know how to ask for it.
So we're screwing ourselves over. It's probably what's going on.
Pretty much. I mean, if you ask Aleister Crowley, and you probably shouldn't because he's been long dead.
Crowley, is that you?
Oh. Yeah. So if you ask him, there is no such thing as good or bad in the in these realms. Really, even though we have the elementals that, you know, I mentioned, they just take the form you want them to take. So if you want them bad, they'll be bad. If you want them good, they'll be good. But you have to keep them in check. And that's what Aleister Crowley stressed, is that you need to know how to control it and practice. Obviously, you need to practice as well. So he said that the idea of, you know, evil comes from the church, and that it's like kind of fear of the unknown in a sense. Because, you know, if you don't understand something, you're going to fear it. And the whole like possessions things or whatever, that comes from these elementals. Like I said, they're tricksters, right? Even the ancient Greeks, they talk about them, and they call them dactyls. I hope I'm not butchering that. But according to Greek mythology, they were born from the goddess of creation, Rhea. And this happened when her 10 fingers, like I said, fingers are sacred, plunged into the earth while she was giving birth to the god Zeus, right? So, like, you know, she was having so much pain from giving birth to this guy or this god that she, you know, hunched over like into earth and her fingers touched the ground, right? And when her fingers penetrated earth, the dactyls came from each finger, 5 boys and 5 girls, because there is a balance. And I think we see this in every culture, you know, there's good and bad, yin and yang. So it's to balance it out. So these are what witches also refer to as a familiar, and people call them demons, fairies, elves, dwarves, gnomes. And if you leave them unchecked, I feel like, you know, every story with these types of beings, they become tricksters after a while, right? So eventually, because they're invisible, they are what you would call poltergeist activity. They would cause a poltergeist activity in your house if you don't know how to control them and put them back where you got them from, right?
Wow.
So magicians practicing high magic, because there are different levels of magic, and, you know, obviously you have to start small before you go big. Magicians practicing high magic have the ability to not only use the Ouija board to evoke specific entities, like I said, like the doorways and whatever, but you can also evoke specific angels that work for certain archangels, right?
Really?
So you're like, okay, I want an angel from Uriel or something. Yeah.
So you could just basically say, hey, like, tell this angel from Uriel to watch over someone specific, or like, mm-hmm.
yeah,
to carry out a certain action, or like, tell this demon to possess so and so because they stole my lunch money when I was 7.
Like, yeah, pretty
so
much.
So you basically have a in a sense, it can be used as a weapon. Almost similar.
Yeah, you can.
Reminds me of like voodoo or something, like a voodoo doll. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
But when you do something like that, though, there, like Dree said before, there has to be balance. So, like, mm-hmm. for example, if I created a voodoo doll and I wanted to ruin somebody's life, well, whatever I wish upon them is going to come back on me no matter what.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, as long as you use it for good, you should have good blessings come onto you, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like I said, like, you can use it for like elementals, which are the tricksters. You can use it to control them, or you can use it to control an angel. And this is what people would call the Enochian angels. And we could probably do a whole episode on that alone, because the whole concept of, you know, bringing an angel down and all of that's a whole topic in itself, right? But we're just touching it for right now. We'll probably do an episode, you know, in the future about it. But also, if you are a magician using the Ouija board, you can also control one of these elementals to work as like the middleman to access your past and future self to gain information, right? And you're like, okay, why would you do that, right? Mm-hmm. Why would you contact your past self, right? Or why would you contact your future self, and how does that work? Well, time is man-made, obviously. Time is not linear. So, you know, everything that has happened and will happen has already happened, if that makes any sense. Time only passed for us, but really in the spirit realm, it doesn't seem like it passes at all, right?
Right.
So you might be asking yourself, like, you know, when you die, right? If you're like me, you believe in reincarnation, right? So if you reincarnate, right? If you use this Ouija board to contact someone, like, for example, like Mark Twain or something, if you want to contact Mark Twain, if he is already reincarnated, can you contact him?
Hmm.
So, I mean, you will get an answer if you ask a Ouija board.
Like, do you get a voicemail? Like, do you get, like a spirit voicemail? Like,
hi, you've reached the voicemail box of Mark Twain. I am currently reincarnated, but after my untimely death, I will be back to answer your calls.
It's like, is this like something that happens? Like,
yeah, actually, yes, it is. It is. It's funny that you said that too, because it is something like that that happens. And this is why you can contact your past life or your future self, right?
I want to know because my this past actually, life.
Right? Yeah, so you can use a Ouija board to do this, and I am not. Oh,
hell
my God.
No. So I have a question. So you know how, like, say for example, Tesla, Albert Einstein, they all say they got their information from somewhere or something else. Could they have theoretically used a Ouija board to access this information?
No, mostly because I know from Albert Einstein, from reading about him, he said that he got his information while he was meditating really hard. And like while he's meditating, he's entering like this other state of mind, and he can see everything, right? And like everything just comes to him. He sees the formulas and everything beforehand. So it's like he's tapping into like this other realm where, you know, knowledge is infinite. So not really in that sense, but I think what people are accessing is the Akashic records. And I think that's what, you know, Nikola Tesla and Da Vinci and Albert Einstein, they were all tapping into. And obviously, if you tap into something that, you know, you might not know of, you'll have your own explanation of it. And I think you can use a Ouija board like this as well, like what Brian was asking about, like the whole voicemail thing. Yeah. So according to Aleister Crowley, right? And this also dates back to the Kabbalah, like I mentioned earlier, because a lot of his beliefs comes from the Kabbalah as well. So using this chain of thought, right? In the Kabbalah, there are these things, they have a specific names, but we're just going to call them shells or like husks of yourselves. It's like when you reincarnate, you release that shell. It's like you're shedding that shell in a sense, right? So that shell, it's not conscious because your consciousness is being reincarnated, but that record, think of it like a vinyl record or something, or like a cassette or something, or like a USB of your past life, right? That is still there and that can be played. So what you would do is when you're contacting these things, you would probably get in contact with an elemental. And what elementals do is they pretty much take that USB and download the information from it, right? And they're gonna become you, your past self, or they're gonna become, you know, whoever you're trying to contact using that record, and they will answer your questions based on that. So to them or to you, they're actually this person that you're trying to contact. So it can be Aunt Pam, it can be Mark Twain, it can be Albert Einstein. And they will give you the information that was retained during that lifetime, right? And it's interesting, and, you know, this is... I would never, ever guess about using a Ouija board for this. But yeah, you have the shells and you shed them, and that's how you can contact your past self as well through these elementals if you know how to control them.
All right, so I got it. I'm going to hit that Ouija board with the Thundercats.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Ouija, give me sight beyond sight.
No. And remember, you have to target the doorway or the castle that you're trying to get into, so you have to know and practice that stuff all first.
I'll make sure I won't go to Mamra's castle, because you know,
I wonder if like
he's the villain of the Thundercats, so
Oh my god.
I wonder if in the spirit world they have like infomercials and the only way to get in contact with them is like dialing on a Ouija board. Like what if you actually accidentally got like caught in like called like a spiritual hotline to like sell like human repellent or something like that.
Oh my gosh.
So as soon as you put your fingers on the what's that damn thing called again? The
planchette
thing?
The planchette, yeah.
Triangles,
not hearts.
Anyways. Not hearts.
Yeah, triangles.
We should make a t-shirt like that, by the way. Triangles, not hearts.
Triangles, not hearts.
Yeah,
yes.
Dude, forget.
So imagine, like, as soon as you put your hand on it, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, you create the whole connectivity thing. So what if in the afterlife, you know, you have, like, the old stenographer. It's not a stenographer. Like, the lady with the operator who has, like, the little TT cables and she's, like, patching you in.
Yes.
Oh, like the operator back in the day, right?
Yeah.
Like in Cable Girls?
Yes, yeah. Like that, exactly. So as soon as you touch that damn thing, all right, they're going to the east. Patch them in.
Oh, yeah, it does work like that. Yeah, you're right, because you have to say where you want to go first, right? So it is like the operator.
Oh, what if you don't say nothing? She's like,
if you say nothing, you're getting an elemental. You are getting an elemental. And you don't want that because you don't want those problems.
You just started off saying, hello, operator. You get sworn by a bunch of elementals that are like, I used to be an operator.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's pretty much what you're doing when you just randomly say, is anyone there?
Is anyone there is equal to hello, operator. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What movie was that? I think it was... Dang. Now I'm drawing a blank. I don't know, Brian. Do you ever see the one with the Wayne brothers where they have guy in the
movie?
Scary movie. They have him in this the scream outfit and that he's pranking him.
Oh yeah.
So could that be one of the all right. You say if anyone's there, then you instantly have a ghost trying to prank you. That's what it is. It makes sense. I'm getting it.
Oh, dude, do you think ghosts just get really tired and of being contacted and they were like, yo, just tell them you're Zozo real quick?
Yes. They get bored.
Yo, we got another human over here. Oh no.
Do you think ghosts can be like dyslexic?
Sure.
And also, why do all ghosts speak English? I just want to know.
Yeah.
Mm.
I don't.
Because they're American.
Did they decide that English is the universal language in like limbo?
The afterlife?
Whatever it is. Like,
what if they just speak the language you speak? Or they don't have a language, so we just interpret it in our own language?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, are Ouija boards made in other languages?
Right? Do they have autocorrect? They're like, yo, how do you spell Zozo? And that's why it keeps repeating, because they're like, I think it's like
Zio, 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 Zio. Yeah.
So I am going to pass the mic to Marvin, and we are going to the mysterious case of Estefania Gutierrez, which the Netflix movie Veronica is actually based on.
All right, so I got a question. I like to start off these little segments with questions.
Yeah.
So if your granddad, right, was a complete a-hole and he cursed the family on his deathbed, would you be okay with that?
Hell no. I'd be like, good riddance.
Would y'all go out of your way to get a Ouija board and try to communicate with this man?
Hell no.
Nah.
All right. Well, this family did.
Wait, no.
Damn. Really?
No, wait. No, they use it to contact that girl's ex-boyfriend or dead boyfriend.
Was it him?
Yeah,
was
but it? Then the spirit in the house was actually the grandfather, because he said...
Oh, got you.
He was like, if I can't injure you in this life, I'm going to do it in the next life or something like
that's
that.
That's what I meant by, you know, completely putting a spell on the family on his deathbed. Because that's what he told his granddaughter on his deathbed.
Like, he whispered that and then died.
Yeah. Like, who says that?
And it's so convenient that the boyfriend of her friend died and they're like, let's use a Ouija board.
Yeah, it's cool. We'll just use a Ouija board to talk to him. And that's apparently when everything went to hell.
Yeah, right.
Long story short, they decided to use this Ouija board, and apparently this kid gets possessed by, I'm assuming it's her granddad's ghost. Apparently the Ouija board gets broken and the smoke off the Ouija board, she inhales it or it completely invades her body and she gets all possessed and everything goes downhill, like to the point where they even write a movie about this.
Wow. Yeah, this girl was having like hallucinations, seizures, and, you know, all sorts of things. And her parents figured that it was probably an illness. So they took her to do all sorts of blood work. And all the tests came back negative.
Like, she was perfectly fine.
Yeah. And, you know, this was after she inhaled that smoke from the Ouija board.
Yeah. So November 1st, 93, I guess this is a few years after she died. So apparently there was a picture hanging up in her living room, and the picture has a frame. There's a picture here also in the article. The picture caught fire, not burning the frame, but the picture itself in the frame caught fire.
Really?
I thought that was a little interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. And it's almost symbolic in a sense, because like this all began when she inhaled smoke from the Ouija board. And then in the end, you know, her picture caught on fire after she died.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's also weird that on her autopsy, when they did it, they said nothing was wrong with her. So they just listed it as a sudden and suspicious death.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it can't be a coincidence, because she died after, you know, inhaling the smoke from this Ouija board. And that's when she started having seizures and stuff. That's a little bit...
A little weird.
Yeah.
So in 92, the family decided to call the police because of all this craziness that was going on. And they didn't really believe the family at first, as per usual. Because, I mean, if a family called tripping, talking about there's weird nonsense going on in the house, I really probably wouldn't believe them right off the bat either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So once the police finally got there, they entered the apartment and they started, you know, taking notes, listening to everybody's not necessarily testimonials or anything like that, but they started listening to everybody, started jotting down their notes, which their notes are also here in this article.
In Spanish, by the way.
Oh.
Because this happened in Spain.
Yes.
Madrid, right. Spain. First of all, if you're seeing a crucifix go upside down, I'm just saying that's a sign.
And yeah, not just one. Apparently, it was implying that there were several around the house that were constantly just flipping around on the walls.
Oh, hell no.
Yes, and then I guess when the police got there, the family was sitting outside on a curb, and then they finally went inside the apartment, and they were talking to the cops. So I guess after she died, her soul became like the good entity in the house, trying to keep the bad ones from completely messing with her family. But that didn't last too long, because her grandpa was like the head honcho. Not saying he's like Satan or anything, but he is one evil SOB.
Might as well have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this, first of all, the family, they were reporting like noises and like knockings, and obviously the whole like crucifix moving around and whatever, right? They even had like this slime that was on the bedside table.
Yeah. And wasn't that in her room, right? The little girl's room. And it, right after she died is when a lot of the weird stuff started happening, and a lot of it started manifesting in her room. Like all her belongings being like tossed around and stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, this whole story is quite interesting. And if you haven't seen the movie, please watch it. But in the movie, they make it seem like all of this happens while she's alive. This happened after she died.
Yeah.
And the police came after she died. And when I say after, I mean like a year later.
After,
or was
it
2 years later?
Yeah, it was about 2 years.
It wasn't immediately after she died. It was 2 years after. And the activity continued until her parents moved out.
Yeah.
So that place is probably still haunted. And if you want to live there, they're still open for business. So feel free.
Nah.
You know what? Maybe we should eventually go to Spain and like try to like go there for ghost hunting.
Let's do it.
I would be down.
I'm always down.
Yeah, we gotta get Nami.
Oh, Nami is going to be so scared. That would be funny just seeing his reaction. Send him in there at night by himself.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's an interesting movie. And if you haven't seen it yet, it's Veronica on Netflix. And it's really interesting. I'll also be sure to include the actual police report on Instagram and probably Facebook as well. So look out for that. And don't worry, I will include the English translation too, in case you don't speak Spanish.
I do not habla español.
Yeah. And this was relatively recent. It was, what, 92? 93?
91.
Oh, that's the year I wasn't born.
Yeah, I wasn't born either.
I was like 5.
You're a 5?
Yeah.
You know, before we wrap up this episode, I just want to say, like, obviously, you know, speaking with spirits has been around since the dawn of time, right? We see it evolving, you know, over time and becoming more and more into something else. Like I said, it's been around, you know, since Pythagoras, and his version of speaking to spirits was slightly different, but also similar to using the modern day Ouija board, right? So where do you guys see us going into the future of, in terms of spirit communication?
Huh. I think maybe the world of VR and AI will come into play with spiritual connecting, but that's not for years and years down the line. You know, that's basically making a copy of somebody's entire being. But I don't know. It's also thinking about the mental impact it could take on somebody actually seeing someone that has passed. Taking that into account.
But there's actually I remember there's this video, and I saw it last year, where there's this company that creates like a 3D version of yourself or the person who has passed, and they use it on this woman, right? And this was in South Korea, by the way, which, you know, South Korea is amazing when it comes to technology. They created this perfect, like, realistic 3D version of this woman's daughter that had passed. Same voice, looked exactly like her. She had to use a VR headset to come in contact with her. But her reaction when she saw her daughter in front of her, she started crying immediately. And it's honestly sad. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how that would be any consolation to anybody. But, you know, we are in the era where I feel like it'll become more and more common for sure.
Yeah, I feel like something like that would get addicting, especially if to a parent that lost a child. Wanting to see their baby constantly, it would be like that's the only reality they want to live in, and it's not
real. Sure.
You know, it's not real.
It's not healthy.
Yeah.
So, what if they create a 3D picture app that allows you to take pictures of ghosts?
I think that would
say you go to like the ocean or like a graveyard or something. You snap a picture and then you go back and look at that, and you're like, "Holy!"
I think that would put it either like boost the ratings or kill the ratings of Ghost Adventures with Zach Baggins. Because they'd be like, wow, this guy literally just put me out of a job because we struggle to see these and now anyone can do it.
I don't know. I feel like a lot of people watch Zach Baggins just to see his muscles. So
his muscular body with his muscular body with his baby face.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he's apparently got a really cool collection of haunted items. So a random fact, 50 or 60 years from now, millennials will have reached a point in their lives where they each will have collected zettabytes, which is the equivalent of 1 trillion gigabytes of data, which is just what is needed to create a digital version of themselves. That was quoted by Ranama, that was posted in a Quartz article. Very interesting thing to think of. We are fed so much information daily, and it's not slowing down, it's speeding up. So the amount of data that is used or that could be collected to create a digital version of oneself are zettabytes, trillions and trillions of gigabytes of data. And on that note, I think that's been some weird-ish. So, any last thoughts on Ouija boards?
Don't use the triangle. Go with the heart.
Don't use the heart. Go with the triangle.
With that being said, you know, if you do choose to use a Ouija board after listening to this, and I hope I did not encourage you
to. I feel more inclined.
Please use caution.
And know what you're asking.
Yeah, know what you're asking. Don't just, you know, open the floodgates by asking, is anyone there? And know your intention. Like we said, everything balances out good and bad. And yeah, just be careful and take precaution.
Yep. And on that note, Andriana, where can they find us?
You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Weirdish TV. And you can also find us on weirdish.tv. We have all of our social media links there. And you can also hit up the contact form and send us an email too, if that's better for you. Yeah, and we look forward to hearing from you. If not, you know, tune into the next episode.
And with that,
that's been some weird-ish.